Because inevitably, something's not going to be the way you think. Now what are you going to do? Have a hissy fit? Are you going to quit? What are you going to do? And we learn to submit ourselves to what where the Lord has us and what he's saying to us. So Adam listened to Eve. And I want to share a little story with you. And I know this brother would be fine with me sharing it. But it has to do with Brother Emo Corey, great man of God. Love him dearly. Walked together for 42 years now. Been friends. Ministered over there, I think, 17 times. He's been here many times. And back in 2002, there was a number of people, there were some people stirred up by the devil, and it was devilish. I won't go into detail, but to try to cause division, to try to attack me and separate people, break the unity of spirit. And what happened, Brother Ema was here, and his wife and Donna and I were looking to him to help steady the boat here. You know, to stand with me. Because when you're accused, you can't defend yourself. Or people accuse you all the more. The truth's your defense. And it's helpful for a person that's respected to your defense. Well, Brother Ema didn't respond. And we were so disappointed. My wife and I were so disappointed. And things transpired the way they did. Well, here, a few years later, I don't know how many years later, at least three, maybe five, it was early in the morning, and it was a summer day. I was out on our swing by our pond praying. Donna thought I left and went to church to pray. It was probably like 6 a.m. And Brother Ema would be known to call it. Times like that. I remember once he calls it King's Rise Early. Ha 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 ha. Cause she I think he had asked for me, and Donna, so he's already out praying. Oh, King's Rise Early, ha 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 ha. Well, anyway, he called and was weeping. I never saw him weep. He's like a They used to call him the bulldozer over in Nigeria, like strong as iron type of person, weeping, weeping. Sister, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Because God showed him, so I didn't stand with Brother Beale. And I had stood with him for 20 years before that, going through all, you know, various things with him, stood with him. And he says, how can I call myself an apostle and not have stood with Brother Beale? He said, someone came from my church speaking evil of me to him. And for whatever reason, he entertained that. So being a man of humility, what he did, it was close to when he was having his convention in Baltimore. He had me come down. In front of all of his people, he shares from Galatians 3:1 that he was bewitched. And he shares this, how someone came and they spoke into his ear, and he believed that. And his message on who has bewitched you. So he's humbled himself to all of his people. Then we go to Nigeria. And I didn't know he was going to do this, but there was a meeting like with 200 of his leaders. They were probably running 10,000 then, different locations and stuff. He has them all together, shares the whole same thing. I was bewitched. Because they were wondering where Brother Bill been the last couple years. Because for them, covenant's big. So if you're a friend, you'll come back. So he humbled himself to all of them. Saying he was bewitched. Now, the reason I share that is here's a man who's seen many people raised from the dead. many, many miracles, creative miracles. Many people saved. A great apostolic work done. But he let the devil begin to talk in his ear against his brother. I only share that for one reason. I'm not dissing on him. I extol him in that his humility that came forth. And and he and I are fine. Our relationship's fine. I've been back over there since then and minister. But I share that for a reason. If a man operating in such an anointing, working in miracles, even raising people from the dead, and they can begin to listen. Don't think you or I can't do the same thing. And if you think you can't be deceived, you're already deceived. So self-deception, thinking you're somewhere like above that. And the enemy will come to steal the word. He'll come to break unity or bring division, break relationships. He will do that. He will do that where the word of God's being preached to disrupt. And you can expect that. You know, when attacks come, you think, well, this is par for the course, to use that expression, because he's going to come. It doesn't mean, oh my God, something's wrong. No, something might be right. If the enemy's trying to rob and steal and do these things. But the thing is, we need to be guarding our own heart and not be a vessel to bring discouragement or agitate other people, but that which would be faith and love. If it's not faith and love, what good did it do? And too often people, they'll give themselves a place. There's no consequence for how I talk because I'm this or that. It's very, very dangerous to ever enter into those things. So we don't want to allow deception to come in. Very, very important. Now, it goes on. It talks about Satan being cast down, crawling on the earth like a snake would. Doesn't say he's a snake, but how snakes just crawling on the ground. And he uses that illustration because they are sneaky, slimy. I hate snakes. And I'll use the scripture to justify my hatred for snakes. It's God's creation. They have a purpose. They eat mice. Did I ever tell you my black snake story? Sorry, I'll tell it again. We had this old home. It was old, had stone foundations. And anyway, well, I could hear there was some mice up in the ceiling above our bedroom that night time. Back and forth. Drives you nuts. The thought crossed my mind, maybe I should get my double barrel shotgun and try and care a few of those mice. It's like, no, then I'll have to patch a hole in the ceiling. But anyway, Donna goes, we just pray, I said, Lord, that's pestilence. I'm redeemed from pestilence. So I give it to you. Well, here she heard this eek, 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 eek. It's down in the basement, took the cat down. Had a big old mouse or cat, holds him up, and he's backing off. Well, here's a big old black snake, and like 5-6 lumps in him. And I realized God sent the black snake to come eat the mice because I was believing for deliverance and never saw a snake again. Praise God for that. Maybe he was hung around, but I never saw him. As long as I don't see him, it's okay. But it's like, don't try and tell God how to move. You know, if he wants to send a snake, bring deliverance, so be it. But anyway, so that was my one good snake story in life. But anyway, God will lead us out from these things. And he mentions about the trees. And I want to submit something else to your consideration, that the garden and the trees were also a figurative and not literal. I say, why are you saying that? He speaks of the Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure, Hebrew. The place of pleasure. Pleasures in the presence of God. And then after the fall, he was driven out from that. But we understand that, like, there's no identification of a place like that on the earth. There's no like black hole. We have all like the satellite imagery and all that stuff. In reality, it doesn't exist. The garden and Eden was a place in the spirit that they lived in with the Father. They were told to replenish the earth. They weren't confined to like this little garden. Now, when we think of garden, you think of, you have a patch outside your house, you know, some tomatoes and whatever you like to grow back here. And it talks about trees. And the idea of a tree relates to Jesus. And you have John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And then there's fruit to be produced. Trees produce fruit. And what he was saying is they couldn't eat the fruit. They could eat the fruit of any of the trees. Now again, we're taught to think it's apples and peaches and pears and plums. It doesn't say that. That's just man's conjecture. The fruit that we are instructed towards is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost and others. That's the fruit. Jesus is the tree. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It only comes by him to us. It's a fruit. It's not a physical tree. But in the midst, there was the two other trees mentioned. One's the tree of having the authority to decide right from wrong, good and evil. And what's called the tree of life, of which they were not allowed to eat lest they live forever, which is speaking then of eternal life, or the sealing of your position, the sealing of where you are in spirit. So for Adam to have eaten of that, he would have been sealed in death like the fallen angels, as mentioned in 2 Peter. They partook of that. There's no way out for them. They sealed themselves in eternal death. God wants us to partake of eternal life. And our spirit is sealed, as it says there in Ephesians 1, about the Holy Spirit seals us. We are sealed by him. Now, we have access to these fruits. Before I say any more on that, I do want to mention that at verse 21, to Adam and his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. There was the shedding of blood right from the beginning. You take and kill an animal and put his skin on you, there's going to be blood on you under that skin. And God had animals killed to cover them, and covering their sin day one. Now, one of the things we recognize, the law of God brings the knowledge of his will. But with the knowledge of his will, and you mix sin nature of man in there, man sins and then has death or separation from God. The law is not bad. The law gives you the knowledge of his will. But now you have a problem. You have sin consciousness. You have sin nature. You have condemnation. And from the beginning, God had a provision for that. Well, then as he gives the law to Moses, he establishes the priestly ministry immediately that they could have forgiveness. Forgiveness is the covering of your sin. But Jesus then is the fulfillment of it as high priest and as the Lamb of God, where there is the remission of sin and our conscience is purged. You see, they could have forgiveness, but still guilt to their conscience. But in the removal of that, we have a righteousness conscience. Our conscience is pure and clear, and it's not being influenced by evil. So that's the difference between the old covenant and the new. The old covenant wasn't bad. That's ignorant people that teach that. That's the voice of ignorance. I wouldn't listen too much to him. It's not bad. The law is never for righteousness to be wrought in us. It's righteousness in terms God would, how he'd have us to walk. But what comes with that then is the realization, the awareness, I'm not walking as I need to. And there's that sin consciousness through which the blood covered their sin. God wouldn't judge them. But now in the new covenant, what's above and beyond that is see the remission of sin as it brings out in the Hebrew epistle. It be removed. There's no reason for any of us to carry guilt around. If you are, go to him, receive your forgiveness, believe it by faith. You've got to believe it by faith, not by feelings, by faith, and begin to declare your righteousness is in him. So I wanted to bring that out as well, that there was the provision there. So you go on down through the whole of the Bible. The priestly ministry, which I was sharing some recent weeks, that God was confined himself to the Holy of Holies, and his presence would manifest there, and he would speak to the high priest there. There's angels there, and the glory cloud of God, and the blood upon the Ark of the Covenant. It's a place of communion with God. But that the way to that was closed. There was no communion. But he shows us a picture that's going to be available to you. That's there in a measure. Back in the garden, God came into that place of communing with Adam and Eve. And Adam was afraid because it was gone. Again, you think of nakedness. Well, they didn't have clothing. But it's not about the natural side. They were clothed with the glory of God. It says in Isaiah they had robes of righteousness. Back in the book of Revelation, you look and compare it to the transfiguration where the glory of God had shined through Jesus' clothing, glowing. See, they had that in the beginning. They were so conscious of the presence of God, they weren't conscious of themselves. Here's a Selah moment here. Part of the problem people have, Don and I have been fellowshipping on this a lot lately, is self-absorption, self-consciousness. People too conscious of themselves, what they think, what they feel, what they want, where we need to be conscious of the Spirit of God. Sensitive to him, conscious to him. And see, you can be doing outwardly right things and pray at times or whatever, but still everything's operating through your own lens, through your own perspective, and not really conscious of him. Like, how's he seeing this person you're speaking to? What's his heart toward them? How's he endeavoring to help them? Things like that. Love walk, a sensitivity there. You know, you're dealing with small children, you have to have a sensitivity to them. People that are rough with kids train them to harden themselves. And God's sensitive to us. He knows what we need to hear, but if we're not spending time with him and hearing the still small voice, we're going to miss that. Well, we read on down here. He says, verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, man's become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand, take the tree of life and eat and live forever. Speaking of eternal life. Therefore, the Lord sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground where he was taken. He drove him out and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the pleasure of God's presence. Cherubims, a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now notice this, the way of the tree of life. The way of the tree of life. The tree of life was there, but because they partook of death, it would have sealed them eternally in that. So there was a protection, or they were not able to enter in to that communion with God, his presence, until the Lamb would come with his blood and place it on a mercy seat of God in heaven, and us by faith receive the work of the blood of Jesus cleansing us, that at that point the Holy Spirit could be sent to dwell within us. Now this being said, I want to go to John chapter 14. I've told on this before, but you know, I don't have to have something brand new all the time. The Word's the Word. I don't know about you, but I don't always get it all right away. John 14, 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you and prepare a place for you." Now, some people misinterpret this over the years, like, well, the house you never had on earth, you'll have in heaven. Or you have some whatever, you know, super great place that you envied while you were here and you didn't get. But he says here, "I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am," and here's the key, "where I am, you may be also." Where was Jesus? Well, he was standing right beside him. He's not talking about physical location. He's talking about where he was in spirit. That where I am, you may be. And where I go, you know the way, you know. So Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way." Now, I relate that back here to Genesis 3. You're guarding the way. But see, the way's been made now through Jesus Christ, the way to the Father. The way to him. He talks about coming to the Father. That's where he's taking us to him. And that Jesus, while he was on the earth, lived in him. He lived in the Father or in the Spirit. I used to share, you know, there's a place called love or a place called peace, a place called joy. They are places in the Spirit that he's prepared for us. Now, it's our responsibility whether we enter into it or live there or partake of that, because he provided all that was necessary to come in like Adam did before he fell. And God wants that communing with him first and foremost. Many times people look at what they're doing for the Lord. First needs to be, I come to him to minister to him. That needs to be the first order of business in our life as Christians. We gather together to bless him, yes, corporately, to bless him. In turn, he'll bless us. We don't come to get something, we come to give something. It's the difference between Christians that are spiritually mature and those that are carnal. Carnal Christian wants to get something all the time. Well, God wants to bless you. He already has blessed you. But the maturity comes to give something. The byproduct is he'll bless you. Your motivation, your primary purpose and thrust is to give something. Byproduct, he'll bless you. So he's provided the way to the places in God, which is communion and fellowship with him. That is the truth and the life. That very life of God. So we can eat of the trees that Adam had access to, which I believe are not apples and oranges. Praise God for those things. And when it says, well, it's good for food, well, your spirit needs fed. Your spirit needs food. And love and peace and joy. And the word wisdom's used relative to a tree back in Proverbs. These things are the things we partake. God wants us to partake of while we're on this earth. So as it was with Adam, God wants to restore all that. And for us, he's made it available to us. Now, the hindrance is the doctrine of devils to say, well, you can do what you want. Oh, this would be good. Oh, pursue this over here. Oh, you're somebody. I mean, you're this or that. You're smart. You're the pride of life. And he said, John said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, the things in the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life shall pass away. So that 1 John 2:16 sums up Genesis 3. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And the thing of pride, it runs so much deeper than what our mind can imagine. And God doesn't show us all at once or blow our mind and short our fuses out. We couldn't handle it. But he'll show you. And the way out from that is to continue to behold, pay attention to him, and see that he's the Almighty God, that he is love, to the acknowledging of who he is. See, that's what makes you small in your own eyes. You look, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. You can begin to think you're big in your own eyes. But as we see ourselves in light of him, be small in our own eyes, and his grace then can lift us up, not to be something in the eyes of man, but lift us up for the glory of God, that we can allow his Holy Spirit to flow and move through us. Praise the Lord. Well, I was excited to share this with you. There are places in God. And many times people do not enter into the deeper places unless they are under intense pressure, or I've got to have more of God or I die. I'll fail. I must have more of him. And see, that's a good thing, even though it's not pleasant to our mind. But the good thing is we're forced to press in for more of him, to behold him more and more. Now, that's not to say you don't do things in the natural. Of course, you got to do things in the natural. But it can never be the thing that captures our heart, the thing that dominates our mind, or the affection within us. Well, let's pray. Father, help us to judge ourselves, not others. Help us to hear what your Holy Spirit would say to us. Lord, lead us all into a deeper place of humility, knowing you, that by faith we can lay hold of all that you've provided for us, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus that you made available to us right here today. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you as a people, we are laying hold of life. And Lord, the testimony of Jesus shall continue to abound through us the more we lay hold of the life of God, eat of the fruit of the tree of life, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Do we have any announcements?